Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning and welcome in. We're Grant and Danny. You're locked into 106.7 The Fan. Much appreciate Pete Medhurst keeping us up to date on all things D.C. and national sports, as always. Danny, how was the weekend?
Spectacular, my friend. Red Hen. People need to be talking about Red Hen. It's on First Street. It's in the Bloomingdale neighborhood, downtown Washington, D.C. One of the best dinners I've had in my life. The Red Hen, bro. So good.
That place is delicious. Excellent restaurant. I'm glad that you experienced cuisine this weekend.
Indeed. Yeah, unlike last weekend.
And you pummeled some
food. Unlike last weekend, boy. Oh, man.
Did you make up for some lost time?
I did. I'll have a break even at EMP because of it. I got the pukes, so I lose probably a few pounds. Pasta was on the table.
Gained
Pasta
it back.
Was on the table.
You'll be happy to know that I didn't catch much of the Grammys last night.
Good.
I did get home in time for one terrible performance, and then I saw one good performance. You know who's underrated, though? I think people talk about this person when she's around, but we don't talk enough about her big picture.
Who's that?
Alicia Keys is one of the best singers of our time. Do you agree with that? Like, vocally speaking, I think Alicia Keys is absolute fire.
I think she has a really cool voice. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
It's not the normal, like, overproduced Britney Spears kind of voice, the dumb poppy type stuff. It's not the, like, opera singer. She has, like, a cool voice, and I wish she did more things. I feel like she doesn't do enough things.
So talented. There's something to be said for a painter who just starts with a piece of paper and hands you this amazing artwork.
Right.
Or, you know, a musician who, you give me a tuber, I'll make some music, right? Alicia Keys, excellent singer. That's kind of my take on the Grammys. That's about all I got
for you
from last night. And we don't talk enough about her. I said to my wife last night, she's kind of like our Whitney Houston. And she thought that was way too far and that was aggressive. Probably like comparing a current player to one of the greats of all time, and maybe that's not fair, but it might be the best we've got right now. I mean, vocally speaking, like her, Gaga occasionally will have moments where or Adele where you go, that's something, that's skill, that's talent. Because we hear so much crap now where it's just a dude talking and their voice changes a little bit.
Well, yeah, the mumble
rap and different things going on now. Country music where no one can really, I don't want to say no one, but a lot of people don't sing well. They
right.
just kind of twang it up.
Sing talk a little bit. Oh, it's brutal.
Who's a better vocalist right now than Alicia Keys?
You already mentioned Adele. Just what she can do with her voice is just stupid.
Adele and Gaga? I mean, is there a dude in that mix? You know
who's a great singer
that's a dude? I love the band Fun, but the guy's name is Nate Roos. He did that song with Pink.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that
guy. He's got
an
incredible voice. He looks just like John Mulaney, the comedian, by the way.
He kind of does.
They look like long lost brothers.
More hipster than John Mulaney. Do you remember Rashad Ross from the Washington Redskins?
Sure.
I covered him in the preseason. He had a magnificent stretch in August, was trying to make the team and wasn't able to. He's now in the Alliance of American Football, which debuted this weekend. He caught two long touchdown passes over the weekend. We'll have him on the show at 11 because the AAF debuted and a lot of people watched. It got a 2.1 overnight rating in terms of share, which means it beat the NBA this weekend,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a huge accomplishment. For the Alliance of American Football. And it essentially tied. It narrowly missed out by a couple decimal points on hanging with the college hoops game that everyone was looking forward to for a couple weeks, the rematch of Duke and Virginia. Now, that's the debut rating.
Right.
The XFL years and years ago had a 9 share, which was a different time and isn't possible probably now. And then it didn't get half that many people to watch after that. The good news for the Alliance of American Football, and we'll get more into it at 10:18 to get some of your reactions. But if you watched any of it, and I watched a lot of it this weekend, by and large, the word of mouth on this thing is very good. People enjoyed it. They liked the pace. They liked no kickoffs. They liked some of the rule changes from the NFL. And the quality of the game, which was alleged as being basically NFL backups. Week 1, I'm not sure that we saw that on every single snap. But I got a little bit of an NFL preseason type vibe, which I think could play for this league with some moments that were better than
that. So there's a number of things on this. The 2.1 rating, there was a lot of crowing and a lot of victory laps taken, which I thought was very curious. It's a nice debut. Here's why it's a nice debut, though. Remember the XFL, which got a 9.5. I looked it up its first week. Think of the amount of promotion. Think of the amount of hoopla, the amount of Vince McMahoning that went into it, right? It was built-up debut, and it was going to be huge, and it was half wrestling, fireworks, and scantily clad cheerleaders, and the whole nine yards. And it debuted at a 9.5. Product wasn't very good, and people caught on quickly.
Exactly.
And it never approached half of that. The next week, it was a 4.6, and then it basically stayed in the ones and twos until the league collapsed on itself. I feel like the AAF, the reason why I think a 2.1 is successful, more so maybe than that 9.5, is what was overpromised here? Right? There's no hoopla for this. This is we're getting started. We're thinking the long way. I didn't see an ad for this league at all anywhere. I didn't see anything in print. I didn't see anything when
They've
I clicked on
sports
site. They've
been running commercials over the last several weeks at the end of the NFL season, Super Bowl playoffs. I've seen a bunch of commercials. But to your point, that there is no grandiose declaration that we're replacing the National Football League.
There's no Vince McMahon going on television. We're coming for you, NFL. Bill Polian isn't going out and giving a bunch of speeches about how they're in their sights.
In fact, it's the opposite. They want to be a feeder league. They're trying to be like a minor league to the NFL. They're doing this very smart. And we'll get into the conversation in more detail coming up in a few minutes. But I thought it was successful. And look, you know, 2.1, whatever you think about that, they beat the NBA. Mm-hmm. A league with a bunch of guys most people have not heard of, playing football a week after the Super Bowl. Everyone said this won't work, and we'll see. Maybe it won't. But more people watched it than the NBA this weekend. That means something, does it not? I think you got to take something out of that. So we can get into that coming up on Grant and Danny in just a few minutes. Speaking of the NBA, the Wizards are 2-0 since the trade deadline. And not just 2-0, but 2-0 with banner performances from the two guys they acquired.
Absolutely.
Bobby Portis in game one and Jabari Parker in game two. Portis went off in the first game. Parker scoring 20 in game two against his former team, the Chicago Bulls. So this looks great so far for Ernie Grunfeld in that you make this deal. Both of these guys have played exceptionally well. You've won two games. Now you're in Detroit tonight to play the Pistons, another very winnable game. The Wizards could, probably should, get to 3-0 since the deadline. At some point, we have to have a new conversation on the Wizards because you and I, correctly, all season long have talked about how they're missing the point here. And they're off the mark because they should be rebuilding and they should, if you don't use the word tanking, that's fine, be bad to get good faster so that they can actually get a high pick and get where they need to go, and they refuse to do that. But now we're at a point where they've tried so hard, and they're still not in the playoffs at this second. There really is no benefit to them being two or three spots worse than they are now, still not picking where you need to get superstars. It's almost better off if you're a Wizards fan that they rally, that they string some wins together, that they get to the playoffs. Because even though you're just cannon fodder in the first round who's going to get blown out by Giannis and Milwaukee or somebody else, at that point you at least get to watch some playoff games. So if you're a Wizards fan, there's no reason not to pull for them now to make the playoffs and just to be annihilated, because there's no benefit to not making the playoffs, not getting playoff games, and still not getting a good draft.
The worst thing you could be is the last lottery team, basically, which is kind of where they are now.
12 or 13th, let's say.
Yep.
That's no fun either.
No.
And you don't get the playoff games, even though you're going to get beat in them, that are at least worthwhile to be in.
You're just dooming yourself to this, basically. You're like, this is what we want, and that's what the Wizards want. That's their stated goal. Ted Leonsis was on the radio saying, that's what we want to do. Please, I'm begging Wizards fans, don't be fooled by the two guys with 20 games to go, give or take, in contract years who are desperate for contracts. Right now, Bobby Portis is the best citizen in the country. Right now, Jabari Parker's playing defense, and he's sharing the basketball. There's a reason it's his third team before he turns 24. There's a reason Bobby Portis is available. Please don't be fooled. Now, Wizards management will be fooled, I'm sure. But you as fans, you deserve better than this. You shouldn't be fighting for scraps from the table. You deserve a team that's legitimately very good, and they won't choose that path.
Portis is a decent player, though.
He's fine.
There's nothing wrong with that guy. And while I hope they keep some money and actual flexibility for the first time in years, I could see them re-signing him, and I don't think it would be terrible. because he is actually a viable option. He's what the league is trending toward. He's a solid NBA player.
That's why I wanted him in the draft instead of moving up to get Kelly Oubre and then having to re-sign Otto Porter and giving up multiple picks and then dumping Otto Porter in a salary dump to then end up with Bobby Portis for a month.
Jabari Parker's fool's gold, though.
Yes.
He will always revert back to not playing any defense, and he is the ultimate is he engaged tonight or not guy. Because
right.
You get the game he just had against Chicago where he scores 20, and that's how he goes second in the draft.
Remember that game that you went to? Was it a couple years ago?
Yeah.
You're like, I can't believe how fat this guy is.
He was very fat.
Yeah.
And he's not as fat right now, by the way, which is very exciting. But there's a reason why he gets $20 million.
That's
there's
right.
a reason why he gets picked second, because that potential is there, and occasionally he decides to tap into it. And you saw it the other night against his former team when he wanted to prove the Bulls wrong. The Capitals over the weekend got a point on Saturday night. They went to overtime and lost. Frankly, they should have won the game. They should have beaten Florida. They didn't. So they've gotten points now in 4 of 5. They need to win tonight. They're wrapping up a 6-game homestand. 6 games since the All-Star break, all at home. They got a chance to have won 4 and gotten points in 5, which would be key. The only reason they actually got a point on Saturday night was that late in the game, down a goal, Evgeny Kuznetsov scored a brilliant snipe.
Dumped in past Kuznetsov. Capitals deep in the Florida zone. Centering here. Through to Orlov. Had to get it out of his skates. No room to shoot. The lane cut off. They score! A puck on the right side! And fired in by Evgeny Kuznetsov. 3:06 to go. We're all square at 4 here in Washington.
And at that point, you thought maybe they were going to leave with 2 points, but it just wasn't to be.
Kuznetsov, all of a sudden, putting some points on the board here of late. They need him.
He's got 6 in his last 3 games.
That's pretty obvious, right? Second thing is, Kings tonight, they're not very good. You got to put some hay in the barn. Columbus, tough game out there. Then that evil West Coast thing.
Yeah, that's a 6-game road trip that starts in Columbus and culminates with the awful Western swing where you're just playing teams at a time of day that you're not used to that play a heavy physical wear you down brand.
Yeah, that California 3-piece. And then it's at Toronto, who's great, and at Buffalo, who's pretty good. You got to end up with a W tonight.
Yeah.
Blank.
If you can get 4 out of 6 and points in 5 of those games on this homestand, you're in really good shape.
Agreed.
To then try to win 3 out of 6 with points maybe in 4 out of 6 on the road, get back here, and you'll be within a point or two of the top of the Metro and the Islanders, who just won't lose under Barry Trotz. Next. Did you watch the Alliance of American Football in its debut weekend? Some of you did, because the ratings say that you did. 800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take your calls. What did you think of the action? Will you watch again? What were your first takeaways?
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. The Alliance of American Football kicked off on Saturday night. There were games on Sunday as well. The word of mouth for the league so far has been pretty good. The people who watch seem to enjoy it. Nobody's going to confuse it with the National Football League. But one weekend after the Super Bowl, you had football to watch, and it was competitive. The executives of the league, led by Bill Polian, who's running the league, said, and we want this to be on par basically with the backups, the number twos in the NFL. And they want this to be a feeder league for the National Football League. Did you watch, and what was your takeaway? That is the question at 800-636-1067. Rashad Ross, who played for the Redskins in the preseason a couple of times, wasn't able to latch on in the NFL, had a monster 100-yard game and 2 touchdowns. He'll be on the show at 11 o'clock today. I'm curious to get his thoughts on the level of competition and where the league goes from here. So here were my first thoughts. First of all, on the rules, by and large, I loved all of the rule changes. And I think if nothing else, this is what's going to come out of this league. Leagues like this should serve as a guinea pig for the National Football League.
Yeah.
The XFL was a failure, if you ask most people. The quality of play was not that great. The league did not have any longevity. Many people who turned it on initially didn't turn it back on. But a lot of the ideas, not the crazy ones where they wanted to make it like wrestling.
No fair catches.
Dudes were going to basically wrestle for the football to see who got the ball instead of a kickoff or a coin toss at the beginning of the game.
Guy separated his shoulder the first one of those.
Oh, that was such a joke.
Ridiculous.
But some of the things that they did where they said, I don't know why the NFL does it this way, but they're not willing to try something different, so we'll try it for them. And we found out, whether it's different camera angles or wrinkles, that there are ways to do this. I thought I would hate no kickoffs. I loved no kickoffs. Just starting a drive at the 25, you know what I didn't miss once? 11 guys lining up, jogging downfield for a touchback. Didn't miss it one time. In fact, you and I took calls both this year and last year before the start of the season on the idea of getting rid of the kickoff because it comes up at the owners' meetings every year because it is the most dangerous play in the NFL right now in terms of injuries and concussion risk. I have adamantly been against getting rid of the kickoff because I happen to think that it is an important element of the game, that special teams are vital, that it takes potential jobs away from guys. This weekend changed my mind, just like that. Watching a game without kickoffs.
Because you saw one without it.
I said, I don't need kickoffs ever again. That they are mostly useless at this point.
In their current form, it's hard to argue that. Right?
Yeah, years ago when Brian Mitchell was breaking a return for 50 yards every 3 weeks because the rules were different. That's a whole different ballgame.
If I can't get that, then do away with it. You know what I mean? If I can't get the old way where you can actually have returns and meaningful plays and games would change because of that, if I can't get that, if it's just the touchback and the ball gets kicked instantaneously, the returner does that double arms out like I'm a scarecrow move, which means everyone slows up, there's nothing entertaining about that.
Balls over my head, touchback. Yeah. I'm standing with my heels on the goal line, and I'm extending my arms, making the shape of a T, basically. I was way more okay with no kickoffs than I thought. The other thing I really liked the AAF rules for was the pace of the game felt expedited and different. And I'm not talking about time of game. Now, time of game was also much better.
Fewer commercials.
Fewer commercials is huge.
Right.
I don't care about time of game. A lot of people do. By the way, the games lasted about 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. NFL games are generally about 3:15 to 3:30. So you're talking about almost an hour less, and a lot of that has to do with commercials, how long they are, how many there are. But big part of it was the pace of the play was improved because they took 5 seconds off the play clock. Now, Danny, I in a million years wouldn't have even thought to take 5 seconds off the play clock. I just wouldn't have. Why not? I could tell you right now that 35 seconds is better than 40 just by watching that one game. I wonder what 30 seconds would look like. That's what I was thinking while I was watching the game. You know, they took five off, so it was a 35-second clock between plays. And, of course, you don't snap the ball at 1 second every single time. You might get to the line and snap the ball with 6 seconds. So at times it's 27, 28 seconds between plays, where in the NFL maybe it's closer to 40 seconds. It's 35, 36. But what if the clock was 30? What if there were snaps at 22, 23 seconds often? Just an expedited game. I don't care if you got to shuttle bodies on and off the field because guys are getting fatigued because more plays are being run. I think it was a healthy thing. Kevin in Fairfax, did you watch any of the Alliance of American Football this weekend? What'd you think?
Yeah, I watched both games yesterday, and I thought the second game was a lot better than the first one. I did like the rules. I was with you, Grant, on the no kickoff. I looked down and all of a sudden, boom, the other team's starting their drive. And it was like, oh, wow, that's interesting. There's no downtime. There's no time to go use the restroom, which was fine. I was like, cool. The other thing that I would love to see is the onside kick, where they're instead of the onside kick, somebody will start at the 28-yard line, I believe, and try to get a 12-yard first down to continue the drive. I know that they said, like, you know, it's like 16 points and over. You can only do it at that time. But I'd like to see it actually reduced so there's more opportunities for teams to get back into the game.
I like that. Thank you, Kevin. And in case you didn't follow there, basically, because there are no kickoffs whatsoever, you can't then say, well, we're going to kick off four onside kicks because
right.
It becomes very obvious that you're doing an onside kick. So their philosophy is you can retain possession, make it take it basketball, so to speak, after a touchdown, if you convert a one-play, 12-yard must-have snap from your own 28-yard line.
Which so I like, by the way.
They call it 4th and 12 because it's right now or you don't get it. And on 4th and 12 from your own 28, so say I'm beating you There's no extra points, so it's only two-point conversions. So let's say I got one and I didn't get another, and it's 14 to nothing. You score a touchdown, and you make it 14 to 8 at the end of the game. Because there are no kickoffs, rather than me starting at the 25 again and you losing the game, you have to operate now 4th and 12 from your own 28. If you don't get it, I take over at your 28.
Right, which I love. I think it's great. To me, the big question is not what they debut at. It's what's this going to be in 5 or 6 weeks, 7 weeks. Is there enough to bring people back? The XFL, there wasn't. The quality of football wasn't good enough. It sounds like this was better run, which is to its credit. The sense I have, though, is that they ultimately want to be a true minor league feeder system for the NFL.
That's what it felt like.
The NFL has needed this for a long time. So my question then becomes, there's a reason minor leagues in basketball now, but in baseball, take place at the same time as the regular season for the most part, right? So if a guy gets hurt, then somebody gets called up. Juan Soto gets called up, right? Because he's playing right now. He's in baseball shape. This season's going to end in the springtime, and then guys are going to sit around and maybe get shots at rosters. I wonder how that minor league system would really work then if it's off season, because it's right now. It sounds like.
Well, this ends basically when OTAs start.
And that's kind of what I mean. For a minor league thing to work, I think they need to be playing at the same time as the NFL to make it a true minor league system.
See, I actually like this timing schedule better.
Because it's filling a void where there's no NFL on TV.
But not only that, for the development of the players. Because here's why. A guy like Rashad Ross, let's say, who's going to be on the show in about a half hour, who had a banner preseason, just about made the Redskins. In fact, did make their 53 and didn't really latch and keep on staying with the team. He has a huge AFL or AAF season, let's say. At the end of the year, when the championship game is played, OTA starts soon thereafter. He agrees to a contract and reports immediately to OTAs with the Redskins, let's say. Now he starts training with them. He's with them until potentially he gets cut, if that happens, in training camp in September. Their training camps and stuff are beginning in late October. And so you're only down for a month until you're getting ready for another AAF season. But so you're able to basically do both. And they're trying to give these prospects the opportunity to come here and improve to go back to the NFL.
But here's what's needed, though, for a true minor league system. The Redskins lose two quarterbacks. Instead of signing a guy that's doing nothing, I'd rather have a guy that's playing football for my affiliate, right? So Josh Johnson isn't off the street. This is what a practice squad is supposed to be, but you can only keep like 5 or 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 guys.
The idea would be he'd be on your practice squad based on his time in the AAF.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying for a true minor league system.
Right. Well, it's not going to be, quote-unquote, a true minor league system.
Right. So they're trying to do two things, be a minor league system and fill this non-football calendar part of the year. I think they need to make a choice between the two.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I liked it, but I get where you're coming from. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Guilo watched, said he enjoyed it. There was actually violent contact to the quarterback. Yeah, quarterback got destroyed and his helmet flew off and there was no roughing the passer. And at that point I said, I think I get used to this. Steph said that was quite the performance. So 800-636-1067. What'd you guys think of the AAF if you've got a thought? Next, Preston Smith and the Redskins. There is no meaningful conversing going on between the two sides on a contract. Should there be? You're listening to The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
G&D, welcome back. 106.7 The Fan. Much appreciate you listening. After his team in Florida, the Orlando Apollos, won their debut in the AAF this weekend, Steve Spurrier took a shot at the Redskins, Danny. Did you hear it?
I did not.
He zinged the burgundy and gold. So I don't know if you know this. Most people, I don't think, do. I had never heard this stat in my life. And why would anybody know this? He apparently has not lost in his debut with any team that he's coached. Like, that's a Steve Spurrier staple, is he comes out and he beats a team. He improved to 6-0 in six different stops in his coaching time, including winning with the Redskins. But his quote afterwards when he was asked about it was, yeah, I even won with the Redskins in my first game. That's not easy to do. Who's Steve Spurrier when he was just busy playing golf and not caring about the Redskins, doing a terrible job for two seasons?
Yeah.
Getting bailed out left and right by Marvin Lewis to take shots at the Skins this many years later.
I guess. Must be nice. He got enough of a following or nobody's going to call him out on it. We hear.
Oh, he's
we
in
know.
His wheelhouse now. Yeah, he's coaching football in Florida.
Right. We know. Everyone here knows that your assistants were inadequate. You brought in washed up Florida players to change quarterbacks every other day. You're a boob. Please go away.
I look back at his tenure now, and to me, it's just one blooper, one story after another about how ill-prepared and unqualified he was.
Yeah. You know,
and it's not even that he couldn't have coached in the NFL if he really wanted to try to be an NFL head coach, but he had no interest. And it really, to this day, I think, has influenced the way teams interview and evaluate potential head coaches from college. Do you want to prove that your thing can work, whatever your thing is? Or do you want to come up to the NFL, bring with you what works, and change some of the things that don't, and try to win at the National Football League level? Because, and maybe you credit him for this, I don't know, Steve Spurrier, to his credit, the day he was hired, all but admitted, I'm not here to do it anyone else's way.
Mm-hmm.
This is an experiment to see if the Florida Gators can win in the National Football League.
You hired me. You didn't hire somebody else. You hired me. I blame the people that hired him. I blame the people that said, give me that. It's not like when you have a TV executive, you go, we want this guy to be controversial. And then he says something controversial. And you go, we can't believe he said that. You literally hired him to do this. This is on you. This is on the people that said, bring me Steve Spurrier. 100%. Now, I was excited about it. I fully admit that. I didn't know that every time it rained, he wouldn't have practice. I didn't know that his players, if they would pretend to hear thunder, and he would go inside on his golf cart.
And everyone would sprint off the field.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that he would refuse to do anything. All I saw was a guy that had a great offense at Florida and was able to beat Georgia. When they lost to Georgia a million times out of a million, he came along and changed everything, and everybody loved him. I said, I'm excited, but it's not my job to hire Steve Spurrier.
When Spurrier was here, the Redskins actually did have decent defenses and had a really good pass rush because Marvin Lewis was coordinating for them, and they had at least one of those seasons, LeVar Arrington coming off the edge for 11.5 sacks. The team's pass rush over the last couple of years has been right around top 10 in the league, and a big part of that has been Preston Smith. Smith is a free agent to be. As of this time, in 1 month, Preston Smith will become a free agent. Here is the question, though, that you guys need to answer for us on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines at 800-636-1067. The fact that there has been no meaningful extension talks so far between the team and the player, which was reported over the weekend by John Keim of ESPN.com and picked up and pushed all over the country by Pro Football Talk. We know that the team and Smith are not close to a deal, that they haven't even gotten into discussions that have led anywhere yet. Is that because they're not going to happen? Or is that because the Redskins haven't gotten to it yet? See, my thought is, when you're a priority, within a month from the season ending,
they get to it.
A team has talked to you and something meaningful has come of this. That doesn't mean you've signed, because a lot of times guys who have been waiting 4 years for free agency like Preston Smith at a position as marquee as pass rusher with some of the credentials to 8-sack seasons that he's got, you want to test the market. But there's a difference between the Redskins and Smith have had talks but have not gotten a deal done yet and that they've had no meaningful discussions about an extension. That means they haven't really gotten past the initial stages. Now, a couple of caveats here. When I was on the beat, I know that one time used on the schedule for the team to get a lot of heavy lifting done was the combine. Eric Schaefer and the staff, at that time it was Shanahan and a different crew, but now it would be probably Alex Santos leading it on the professional side. Doug Williams will be involved. Bruce Allen will be heavily in the mix. They'll all sit down. They'll go over numbers, what they're willing to pay Preston Smith, what they're not, what type of contract they're willing to give him. And at the combine, I think they will sit down and they will try to hash something out with his agent. So maybe it's just a matter of the combine hasn't come yet. That's when they're going to do a lot of their work. And if you think that's the case, 800-636-1067, fine. I think there's another side of this, though, which is he only had 4 sacks this season.
Mm-hmm.
He had 53 tackles. He played the run really well. Remember, Andy Benoit was on the show, and he told us he thought Preston Smith, and this was like 11 or 12 weeks into the season. This is a guy that watches a lot of the film. He said he's going to be a fascinating case because he thought he was having his best year, even though the sack totals were not there.
Right.
So if you're just basing what he's going to get paid off of sacks, he's not going to get any money. But if you're looking at him as a run stuffer, as an edge setter, as a guy who's got the potential to get you 8.5 to 10 sacks as a second linebacker, as a guy who is athletic enough to defend passes and knock some balls to the ground and pick off a pass or two a season, there's some money potentially out there. Someone's going to pay this guy. But the Redskins have Ryan Kerrigan on the other side. They've got a second-round pick. When they originally drafted Ryan Anderson, the plan was to let Preston Smith walk this year. Ryan Anderson has done nothing to make you think he can replace Preston Smith as a pass rusher. They still have Pernell McPhee, who I think you noticed maybe 3 times all of last season.
Right.
That's about it. If you let Smith walk, Danny, you've got to then draft an OLB in the first couple of rounds or spend money on someone to replace him that you didn't draft and develop. As much or more money than you'd pay Smith. What are they going to do?
I don't think they're going to be in the Preston Smith market, is my guess. I think of it this way.
Did they just completely wash their hands and let him walk?
Different players, and here's why. Obviously, but think of Bryce Harper, right? Where all 30 teams, if you ask on a binary, yes or no, do you want Bryce Harper? The answer is yes. But then you hear what the price is going to be, and all of a sudden the list of teams is limited. I think it's going to be that way for an outside pass rusher because he is a human being. He's under 30 years old. He's recorded a sack in the NFL. Somebody's going to overpay him. Someone's going to overpay Preston Smith. And I think the Redskins know that marketplace will be too rich for their blood, given all their cap issues, given all the problems that they have, given the investment they have at that position, given the fact that he had more snaps this year than Ryan Kerrigan and a fraction of the production in all things, not just sacks, but in hurries, in tackles for loss, in impact plays. He was on the field more than any other outside linebacker and did the least. They're not going to be in the market for him, is my prediction. I think they're kind of fed up with the inconsistency. I think they're kind of fed up with, dude, we gave you every chance to emerge into a force, and you didn't. You're fine. We can get fine for half the cost.
So I think they will be in the market for him, but they want to pay him as what he is, which is fine. And I think he will get paid as if there is more ceiling there, and there might be, from someone else. The Redskins for years did this. They went out and they found guys, whether it was Stephen Bowen or somebody like him in another place. They did it with Terrell McClain, not to the extent that someone will have to for Smith because he's got counting statistics. Mm-hmm. But they said, yeah, you were just okay there, but you're going to be better here. This is what teams do in free agency all the time.
Yeah, someone's going to fall in love because he looks the part.
I think they're going to offer him around $4-5 million a year, something like that, and he'll get closer to 8-7 because he plays a position where he comes in, he plays 16 games. You're banking on him getting you 7.5 sacks at least next season. Only had 4 this year, but he had more than that the couple years before. 800-636-1067 is the number. No meaningful talks between the Redskins and Preston Smith. How much of a priority should they make him? Also next, you've got Steve Kerr and some of the Golden State Warriors recruiting Bryce Harper as the San Francisco Giants as a destination is picking up some steam.
We are Grant and Danny for our friends at EMP 180 Weight Loss. These guys are amazing. They are awesome to work with. Every time we go in, every time we check in, we still check in, by the way, an awful lot. We get our food, get our supplements, get our body composition stuff done, get advice on how to attack the next week or 2 weeks, depending. We always meet listeners. So many lives have been changed. These guys are so wonderful, and they're opening up new locations, not because they're failing, they're thriving.
Well, so everyone asks me all the time, why can't I just lose weight on my own? And you probably can. I mean, a lot of people have. I say, why would I do EMP? And I tell them all the time, and I have a great example from this past weekend specifically. I weighed the exact same weight when I got on the scale right before my weigh-in on Saturday as I did the week before and the week before and the week before. And I've been eating so good, and I've been trying to exercise, and I hit the gym a couple times, and I'm going, what is going on? I cannot lose any weight. Well, I went in for my body comp, and I found out that I had lost 4.5 pounds of fat.
There you go.
I had gained 3 pounds of muscle. So on the scale, I'm sitting there beating my head against the wall going, how is this possible? EMP 180 is so much more than just the number. It's about nutrition and health. They've got the offices, as Danny said, Alexandria, Woodbridge, Ashburn, Rockville, Tysons, 855-888-0180 to get a consultation, 855-888-0180, or just Google EMP 180.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We'll catch up with former Redskin Rashad Ross, who was the star of the weekend in the Alliance of American Football. Scored a couple of touchdowns in a 100-yard game. How long has he been training? Level of competition compared to the NFL? What did he think of some of the rule changes? Something everybody's talking about around the country today, and we'll have one of the star players from the new league on at 11 o'clock in 12 minutes here on Grant and Danny. You can call us if you'd like to chat about Preston Smith at 800-636-1067 on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines. That's 800-636-1067. We're also on Twitter.
At Funny Danny for me and at Grant H. Paulson for Grant H. Paulson.
A tweet here from Bob who says, Preston Smith has been underwhelming at best. He was horrible for about 13 games, then got some numbers off some Jags at the end of the season. Can't run stop and is inconsistent. Find a guy in the third to replace him. What do you think they should do? Well, I disagree with the fact that he can't run stuff.
I thought he was good at that.
Yeah, he has been more often than not really good against the run and as an edge setter. There are plays where he gets blown up and that it's very obvious because he's kind of your last line of defense on the outside. And it's always going to be obvious when he fails. It's not more than guys in the middle fail, I guess would be my point. It's just not as noticeable when they do. What I would do is I would offer him about probably $4.5-5 million a year. I would offer him 4 years at maybe upwards of $22 million, and I would guarantee him, say, $12 million. And I would say, I know this is not what you envisioned for a bunch of years. I know this is not what you thought was coming. If you want to do a shorter deal so that you can get to free agency quicker at a better age, we'll even go 2 and 12, and I'll guarantee you 7. I'd love to do that. But this is the best I can do for you right now. If you want to go elsewhere and get more money, more power to you. You have not proven yourself as being worthy of the big contract yet. Ryan Kerrigan had double-digit sack seasons for a few years in a row before I paid him. I just can't do that with you. Can you replace him with a third-round pick? You can replace his sack total this year for sure. I don't think the complete player, the pressures, the hurries, the consistency in the running game, the sacks, I don't think you can get all of that out of a third-round pick this year. I also don't think he's as bad as he was this year. I don't know why he didn't have more counting statistics, but he's normally better than he was this season. This was the low for him.
He's had two seasons where you go, hey, there's a lot of promise here. This is worth doing. And then two seasons just like this, where despite heavy usage, despite starting 16 games, which, by the way, is an asset that's under-talked about here, is that he was available and played such high snap counts. Just no impact plays. Very few week-in, week-out type moments. Where is that Philadelphia game where you took over? The one-handed interception, and he's, you know, in the backfield every other play, it seems like, blowing things up, causing havoc, and then disappears for weeks at a time. And you go, where is Preston Smith? To me, I would offer him something. I would do one of those, here's an offer that I know there's no way you're taking. And if you take it, great, then we got Preston Smith. It's solved.
Would you offer him as much as I just did, or would it be less than that?
Less than that, a fraction of it. The type of thing where his agent would be insulted and they would never contact me again.
See, you're always big on offering money that no one will take just to say you did it.
Yeah.
I don't know what that accomplishes, though. At some point, you're just going to annoy agents that have clients that you work with in the future.
There's a chance that he takes it, and then I've got a great bargain. But for the most part, I'm not in the business of doing business with Preston Smith. I will get that same production, a good run stopper, a guy that sets the edge, lucks his way into 4 sacks with, you know, 1,000 snaps in Ryan Anderson. Ryan Anderson's not as good as Preston Smith. There's no question about that. But at a fraction of the cost, I can also get no production. So to me, I need to make hard choices because of the salary cap hell that I'm in. This is my first hard choice. I can overpay for moderate at best production from an outside linebacker, or I can save some money and get below average production. I'm going to save some money. I can't just pay everybody.
Yeah, and I just worry about replacing him because Ryan Anderson is not a good enough pass rusher.
No, he's not.
But could he get you 4 sacks in 16 games like Preston Smith did last year? Absolutely. I would bet just about anything that he would get fewer pressures and fewer quarterback hits. But you got a whole offseason to figure that out. I mean, you should be able to find a guy in the mid-rounds, even if it's just a stand-him-up, come-off-the-edge type.
Right.
Like
specialist.
Junior Gallette, as an example. At the end of his career, when he played here for a season, and if you follow him on social media, It's like half motivational and half sad. I'm not sure which one it is.
All at the same time.
But he's still posting like clips of himself and these stories about how teams should sign him and all these things. That's the kind of guy where when they had him that final season, he could rush the quarterback. Now, I wouldn't have put him on the field all downs. But when on third and nine, when you just put him out there, he got close to the QB a whole lot. I think over 16 games, he'd get you more sacks than Ryan Anderson.
Agreed.
Even this coming year.
Agreed.
I would go find someone just with speed off the edge who could help you. Real quick on Bryce Harper, and we will get into this in more detail in the 12 o'clock hour today. Harper has been talking with the San Francisco Giants. They apparently had a really good meeting with him that went 4 hours last week. Their owner, their GM, their manager, all involved. To the point where part of their ownership group in front office was speaking, I believe it was their team president, at their fan fest this weekend. And they basically said, we're in a pretty good spot here. We'll see what happens. They now have some of the Golden State Warriors trying to convince him to sign.
I love it.
Last night, Steve Kerr, in a press conference, asked Bryce Harper to come out to the Bay to be with the San Francisco Giants. This might be what I root for now, because I am still of the belief he will not sign with the Nationals, number one. And number two, I think the Nationals, I won't say they're better off if he doesn't sign, but I think long-term, they're in a really good spot if they don't pay him and they have other money to spend elsewhere. So all along, I've kind of hoped that they found a way to either get a deal done below market or that he left and didn't play for the Phillies in the division.
Mm-hmm.
I think the worst-case scenario is he's at Nats Park every few weeks with Philadelphia.
That's what I care about.
Go to San Francisco. Ideally, it would have been the American League, but it doesn't seem like other than the White Sox who aren't realistic, anybody else is really getting in on this. So go to San Francisco, be across the country. I only have to see a few times a year. Godspeed.
The only thing I care about is not Philly. That's where I'm at. It'd be cool if it was the Nets. It'd be cool if it was a couple other things. Just not Philadelphia. I hate them, and it would break me to have to watch you 19 times a year.
How many times would he hit a ball into the cove out there, McCovey Cove?
Many times.
Oh,
it's Harper Cove now.
Barry Bonds 2.0. Remember, in 1992, tell me if this sounds familiar, the Giants broke the record for spending that year on free agent Barry Bonds to come play right field. When people were like, where's this guy going to go? They swoop in, and they spent more money than anyone had ever spent before in free agency.
They swooped.
To bring in Barry Bonds.
I want to swoop.
2019. Now we are 17 years later. They could do it again for another right fielder.
It's why when this whole thing started, I had the Giants pegged as the team that I thought would make a lot of sense. I could see them wanting a splash. It's an older, bloated payroll. They underachieved for the last couple seasons. I've always thought they would be a player. Now, it didn't look like it for months, but now all of a sudden they seem to be in.
Harper prediction, as of right now.
Phillies.
I still say Phillies as well. Pitchers and catchers report for the Nats in just
a couple of days.
We're going to be there next week, people.
Yeah, baby.
Cannot wait. Rashad Ross, former Redskin, Alliance of American Football star after a couple of touchdowns this weekend. For Grant and Danny, we'll catch up with The Rock next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.